Here Lies Alice, written by J.A. Baker and read by Jennifer Valetic. I see him before he sees me. I shuffle forward on unsteady legs, my hands trembling as he turns and looks my way. His eyes are blind to my presence, always glancing elsewhere, their unseeing stare shifting over and beyond me. This is always the way, me chasing after him, watching, waiting, hoping that one day he will finally turn my way and sense that I am here. Weeks and weeks of longing for him to speak and acknowledge me. Anything. I will take any crumbs he decides to throw my way. That's how anxious I am for his attention. Does that make me sound sad and desperate? Probably. But that's because I am. I need him to want me, to be with me. It's just how it is. The group of bodies move out of the church, their voices a gravelly murmur. People turning, speaking to one another, talking in hushed tones, heads dipped together respectfully. Only when we are outside does the noise level return to normal, people's whispers raised to their usual volume, their voices carrying over the warm air.
How's your mum? Still not well?
Yes, John's still working over at the big supermarket. Been there for over 10 years now. Lovely session, don't you think? Went really well.
My arthritis is getting worse by the week. Don't know how I managed to make it here today.
The voices around me are no more than white noise as I scan the crowd for signs of him. He's disappeared. No hanging around for idle chat, Peter has vanished from the throng, heading away from the crowd before anybody has a chance to engage him in conversation. I admire him, being unwilling to become embroiled in the pointless, boring minutiae of other people's lives. The rest of us are all too polite to say no, to tell people that we have better things to do with our time than to stand and listen to their endless litany of ailments or be subjected to the mindless repetition of banal news about their lives. News that is insignificant and trivial to us and important only to them. We all have our damaged existences that we strive to conceal. Peter has his, and I have mine. I wonder if he has noticed me watching him from afar. I don't suppose he has. Why would he? He doesn't know me. Or at least I don't think he does. I'm just another face in the crowd, another member of the group who is mourning the loss of somebody close to them. I know him, though. I definitely know him. We have a lot in common. It's just that he doesn't know it yet. For the past year, I've been wandering aimlessly through life, rudderless and confused, with nobody and nothing to assist me, to tell me that everything is going to be just fine. Nobody to stop me from collapsing in a heap. Until I realised that Peter attended the grieving sessions in church, that is. It gave me a purpose, knowing I could get close to him. It was a chance, possibly my only chance. Hope flourished within me. I had something to aim for, something tangible I could cling on to, something that could turn my life around, make it worth living again. Every week at the group sessions, I watch him, scrutinising his speech, his movements, every little thing about him. I need to know it all to work him out, assess him, become his judge and jury. Unlike me, he is able to speak coherently, to relax, converse with others in the group, be himself.